Revelation chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God.
Now here we see, John is saying, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Now, when you see this sign, he saw the great and marvelous sign because he saw seven angels standing there with beautiful white clothes and golden straps on their chest and having the seven last plagues with the seven bowls in their hand, and they were filled with the wrath of God. Now someone would say, what is the reason this John is so excited and he says great and marvelous thing he is seeing? If you remember, in the Revelation chapter 6, the people under the altar, they were asking revenge. That we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. And they were asking revenge, and God says, wait until all the number is fulfilled. Now we saw three different kinds of problem came into this world. When we see Revelation chapter 6, when the seals start opening, there were seven seals were open. And each seal opened, white horse, red horse, black horse, green horse, and all those horsemen were doing some kind of trouble into this world. Then we saw in chapter 8, and chapter 9, and chapter 11, the trumpet. The seven trumpet sound, and different kinds of problem came to this world. Fire, blood, and many disasters came. Now in this chapter, if you remember last time when the trumpet were going to sound, in chapter 8, there was a silence for a half an hour. And why there was a silence? Because when the trumpet were going to sound, more problems were going to come on earth, and many people were going to die. So now we see the trumpet sounds, all the seven trumpets finish. And so this is what John saw. And John says, when I saw, this is marvelous things, angels are waiting and standing with having seven bowls filled with the wrath of God. So when we see many people thinking in the book of Revelation, the devil is the one giving problems, Antichrist. But actually, the God is the one pouring the wrath on the people and the beast. Even when you're going to read the Battle of Armageddon, that also people are thinking the enemies are coming to destroy the children of God and Israeli people. But actually, God says, I'm going to put the hook on their nose and bring them. And so God is the one bringing those people for the war and going to destroy them. So here the word of God is saying, this is the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2.
And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God.
So he sees there is a big ground, big, huge ground. That ground looked like a sea, but that sea looked like a glass. And he says, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingle with fire. Now this sea of glass we saw in a book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 6. Please read.
And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
Now can you see, here he's saying the sea of glass like unto crystal. And here he's saying this glass mix with the fire. So it looked like a big giant ground, because it didn't say they were standing in the sea, they were standing on. So it looked like a platform, it's like a flat surface. Read that one more time, Revelation 15, 2.
And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God.
See, stand on the sea of glass. Why say sea? Because it's a huge. It's a huge ground. Because when we read in the chapter 4, all around the four beasts and 24 elders and all the angels were standing and singing with a harp. And here he says, these people, they are not one or two. There are hundreds and thousands and millions of people standing on that sea of glass, and the glass looks like a mingled with fire, because the glory of God and the rainbow, if you read the book of Revelation in the beginning, there was different kinds of color. And so the rainbow and red colors and everything was, they were reflecting on that glass. So the glass looked like a mingle with fire. So there was no fire burning, but it looked like beautiful scene, millions of people standing on this sea of glass. Go to the Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 7 starting from verse 9.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
Now these people were standing on that sea of glass. No man can number the number, and this many people were there already. Okay, keep on reading.
And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?
Now see here, millions of people standing there, angels are singing, and 24 elders. When he say 24 elders, people are saying these are the church or the Old Testament saints, but they are not, because they are angel. And one of the angel is asked, where these people are coming from? He say he doesn't know. Read the verse 14.
And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Now see, these people came from the great tribulation. Now that was in the Revelation chapter 7. Now this is in Revelation chapter 15. Now let's go back to the Revelation chapter 15 and read the verse 3.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.
Now see here, those people were singing the song in the chapter 7. They had the palm branches in their hand and they were singing. Here also saying, and they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And what they were saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, the Lord God Almighty. Song of Moses. Now, if you read in a book of Psalms, when you go to the Psalm 90, you'll see the heading, Song of Moses. And Moses wrote some of the songs. But actually, they were singing the song of victory, just like go to the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and read from verse 1 to 21.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as in heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedst out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.
See, this was the song of victory. And so these people are coming from the great tribulation. They did not take the mark of the beast. Here he's saying the words too. They got a victory over the beast, over the image, over the mark, and over the number. Means they did not take the number, they did not worship the beast, and they did not take the mark of the beast. They got killed, but still the word of God says they had a victory over these demonic forces. Devil thought, you know, like when he killed Jesus Christ on the cross, he thought, I got him. But he didn't know Jesus Christ destroyed the death, and he came out of the grave, and now we have victory over the death. So here we see all these people singing a song of victory. And they're singing the song that the demonic forces are going to be destroyed. Now this is now closer time to the end of the tribulation, because when you see this is the chapter 15. Chapter 16 start with all the seven bowls, the wrath of God pouring. But now the chapter 15, they are celebrating victory ahead of time, that God has given the victory. So they are singing the song of victory and praising God and glorifying God. Let's go back to the Revelation chapter 15, verse 4.
Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest.
Now see, the Moses song, they were also saying, the many people will gather, worship together, and your name will be glorious. So here is saying, the people who have seen the wrath of God and defeat of devil and enemy, those people, all the nations later on, will worship Jesus Christ. Just like Philippians chapter 2, we see every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody will read this and say, "For thou only art holy." Now only say, "Thou art holy," that they are talking about the God is holy. Then somebody say, "If the God is holy, how about his Son?" But when you say God, are we talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Triune God? And so our God is a holy God. And so let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16.
Because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy."
Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. Now here he says, "It is written," and Peter is quoting from the book of Leviticus. Okay.
"For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy."
See, our God is holy. And the word of God says in the book of Hebrews, he says, chapter 11, "Without holiness, no man can see the Lord." And so, our God is holy. Jesus Christ is called the Holy One of Israel. And the Holy Spirit is holy. And so, Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And once we receive the forgiveness of our sins, and God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us righteous and holy people. We do not have our holiness, but we get our holiness from God. So he says, our God is only holy God. Now there are so many gods in the world. There are Hindu God, there are Muslim gods, there are different kinds of God, but our God is a holy God. And so we have to tell the people, the word of God says our God is holy, and if anyone wants to worship him or see him, they have to be holy. Okay, let's go back to the Revelation chapter 15, verse 5.
"And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened."
Now he says, after that I looked, and I behold a temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now when you see from chapter 4 to chapter 16, we see so many things happening in heaven, and everything is coming from the temple. God the Father is sitting on the throne. When we saw, even the Lamb was opening the seal, Father was sitting on the throne, and the Lamb was standing the midst of the throne and opening the seals. So we see God the Father sits on the throne, and his throne is in the temple. And here we see the temple represents the Old Testament's ministry. First time God told the Moses to make a tabernacle, but he gave the pattern from heaven. Let's read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, Hebrews 8, 1 to 13.
"Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man."
See, a ministry of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not a man. So what God is trying to say, there is a sanctuary, means there is a temple, there is a tabernacle in heaven. Why I'm emphasizing so much here? Because when you come to the chapter 21, you will see there is no temple in Jerusalem. And that's why many people get confused. If there is no temple and in Jerusalem, then people start giving so many explanations, because we are the temple of God, and God lives in us, and so Jesus Christ will be our temple, and that's why there is no temple. Here it says, there, Jesus Christ right now, he is in heaven, and he is in the temple, and he is our high priest, and he is our mediator. And that's why it's very important to know that temple is not going to disappear. Okay, keep on reading.
For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have someone also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
See, here it says God to Moses, you have seen the pattern. God showed him a vision or something, just like God is showing Saint John. Now he showed him the real temple, and he told him, you are going to make a pattern in the tabernacle. Now in the wilderness, and they had gold and enough gold, because when he is saying, bring the gold, we want to make a tabernacle, and people start bringing, he said, enough is enough, we don't need any more. So they had enough gold, but this, why God did not tell the Moses to make a temple, because they were still in journey, and so they cannot take the temple and walk around, but they were able to take the tabernacle and move around. But when the Solomon came, and Solomon was able to build the temple, even though his father wanted to build, God says, you cannot build because you shed so much innocent blood. So he was not allowing him to make it. But here we see, this is the shadow of things to come, means he says, whatever the real thing is in heaven, you are just seeing a shadow. But the real things is coming, and Jesus Christ is now in that real temple. Let's read verse 6.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
See, the Jesus Christ is the mediator of the better covenant. And that covenant Jesus Christ made with his own blood. Okay, verse 7.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
Now here is saying, the first covenant God made with Moses with the blood of bulls and goats. But that covenant, they found so many faults, because these people were not doing the real covenant. Go to the Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah chapter 31. And start reading from 31 to 34.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And that's the covenant Jesus Christ made with you and me. And so once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins are forgiven, forgotten, and there is no record of it. Go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and start reading from verse 8.
For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and to their sins and to their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
This is the Paul, or the writers of Hebrew, author. He took the verses from the Jeremiah and trying to explain to the people of God, now this prophecy of Jeremiah is fulfilled, and Jesus Christ made the new covenant. But still, the time is coming in the millennium, God is going to make a covenant with those people, and God is going to forgive their sins one more time. Okay, let's go, but you are in the Hebrews. Read verse chapter 9 and verse 11 to 24.
But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
See, if you remember the last 14th verse you read, he says the blood of bulls and goats were able to sanctify mankind outwardly. But the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify your inner man, conscience. That never happened before, but happens with the blood of Jesus Christ. If any person you're dealing with, and that person says, I'm a horrible sinner, I murder people, I did some horrible things, and lady says, I was prostitute, and my mind is filled with the corruption, and I smoke, and I drink, and I take a liquor, and I have so many problems, and I tried and tried, and nothing happens. You tell that person, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask the forgiveness of your sins, and see what happens. As soon as that person says, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and forgive all my sins, I trust in your blood, everything vanishes away. The desire of sin will go away, the power of sin will go away, and you will get victory. Let's read verse 16.
For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all, while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
See, here he says, if somebody make the covenant or promise or something, he says that promise only fulfilled after his death. The animal has to be killed for a sanctification. So here Jesus Christ gave his blood for our sanctification. And here he says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness or there is no remission of sin. So the blood of bulls and goats were washing away outside of your sins or covering your sins. And that was sounding good to those people. But for us, our sins are not even only washed, but what? They are completely forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of it. Read this Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
one man is very blessed because his sins are forgiven and his sins are covered. So the person says, oh, my sins forgiven, my sins are covered, I'm happy man. But until you read the two verse 2, then you have to give a choice which one you want. Go read the verse 2.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now this man, he says, there is a man, and God sees this man. He says, you know what? I'm not putting any guilt on you, and I don't see any sin in you. And not only that, when I see inside your spirit, in your spirit, there is no guile, there is no lie, there is nothing sin. So in and out, when I see you, you are perfect. So which kind of person you want to be? So the first one, sins is covered. So the Old Testament people, they were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. Their sins were covered. But each time they commit sin, their sin will be uncovered. But our sins are forgiven, forgotten. There is no record of it. And inside, there is no guile. So we are the worshiper of Jesus Christ. And we believe Jesus Christ and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the blood of bulls and goats. Now what the ministers and the scholars make a mistake, they are trying to take the Old Testament people and take the New Testament people and mix them. And they say that's what God wants. And they will take the scripture from the Jesus' prayer that there are other sheep and I want those sheep and we want one fold. He's talking about the followers of Christ. Everybody has to follow Jesus Christ, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and wash by the blood of Jesus Christ, baptized in the water, filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the group is called the bride of Christ. If you remember, we just learned the last week 14th chapter of Revelation, and here we see they were singing a song, and the word of God says no one was able to learn that song but only 144,000 people. And all of a sudden people say, the 7th chapter 144, those are the people, and 14th chapter, and we learn they are not the same, because those 7th chapter is from the tribe of Israel, 14th chapter, they are redeemed, they are virgin, and they are separated people. Last week, we remember, they were singing and praising God, and no one was able to understand or learn their song. Here, these people are singing, and where they're singing, these people are singing in front of the temple where the God is sitting, and all the people coming out of the tribulation. And those are the saints, tribulation saints, they are singing. And the number is so much, and John was not able to answer. The elder said, do you know where these people are coming? He said, I don't know, you know it. So he said, these people are coming from the tribulation. And many scholars are teaching the church is going through tribulation. But we already learned in the early chapter, God is not going to allow the righteous people or the bride of Christ to go through tribulation. Tribulation is for the evil people, the people who backslidden, people who left behind, people never got saved. Those are the people who will be in the tribulation. But we learned last week, if you remember, the angel was flying. An angel was saying, do not take the mark of the beast, do not worship the image of the beast, do not worship the Antichrist, otherwise you will be doomed, you will go to hell for eternity. And the people we are reading now, he says, these people are victorious because they did not worship the beast, they did not take the mark, or they did not worship the image of the beast, and they are victorious. And that's what the word of God is saying. There is two different kinds of people. Now, when we read in the chapter 7, if you remember, Revelation chapter 7, it says, they are having the palms, branches in their hands, and they are worshiping God in front of the temple on this sea of glass, and they are going to worship the Lord. the temple represent for the Old Testament people. When you go to the Revelation chapter 21, there we say there is no temple, and the Father and the Son gives the light. There is no sun, there is no moon. Then somebody says, if the Father and Son is in New Jerusalem, then what happened to the temple? We see the Father and Son also in the temple, because Father Jesus Christ is the high priest, and we are called the priests. And we learn in the book of Revelation, it says, I will make you the pillar of the temple, the people who are overcomer church. So they will be temple for permanently. That temple will not vanish, and they will be New Jerusalem permanently. And the many people have a theory that the Jerusalem is coming on this earth. But we will learn more when we come to the chapter 21. I believe that Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, which we read in chapter 21, is not going to come on earth, because you have to read all the description. From the throne of God, there is a river, the water is flowing, and the tree planted here and there. Do you think somebody picked up the Jerusalem and river and everything coming on this earth? No. So people do not understand. We will learn later on more. So I wanted to bring the point that this tribulation sense, there will be most more people will be the Jewish people, because they singing the Moses song, and they singing the, somebody said, but they singing song of the Lamb. Yes, because John the Baptist says in John chapter 1, Saint John chapter 1 verse 29, he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And they were singing because Moses told this, take the lamb and kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, to the death angel will come and will not destroy you, he will pass over. And they were doing Passover until today. But when Jesus Christ died, the temple service finished and no sacrifice, but still they are doing Passover. And you have to ask the Jewish person, where is the lamb? Where is the blood? They are doing Passover without the blood. And so, but we know when they're singing the song of Moses and they're singing the song of the Lamb, they are still all the Old Testament saints. Now, the Jewish people. Now, somebody said, then what happened to some Christian people died in the tribulation? What happened? As soon as they died, they went with the bride. As soon as anyone got killed in the tribulation, those people went to the bride, and where the bridegroom was, 144,000, the church were singing, and nobody can learn that song. So they are going following Christ wherever the Christ goes, and they are the followers of the Lamb. And these people are standing on the sea of glass, and they are singing. They are not moving anywhere, and we read in the 7th chapter, they will be worshiping near the temple day and night. Okay, let's go back to the Revelation chapter 15 and start reading from verse 6.
And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.
See, now here he's saying all these seven angels were standing there when John saw it. Each angel has the bowl of the full of wrath of God, and they were having white garment, golden strap tied to their chest, and they are ready to fly. And so they have seven bowls, they are ready to go. Four beasts, we read it in the Revelation chapter 4 a few minutes ago, there were four beasts, and those four beasts has the eyes and wings all over their bodies. And so those are one of the beasts is giving them these bowls and saying, now you're going to pour this. And these people are ready to pour. Now, as they're standing like waiting for the order from the Lord, and it says the bowls were filled with the wrath of God, and the smoke started coming from the throne of God. Not from this wrath, but the smoke, white smoke, not like a carbon, white smoke, just like when Moses built the tabernacle and Shekinah glory came, or Solomon built the temple and the Shekinah glory came. That's the way it said the temple was filled with the glory of God. And all these angels are praising and glorifying God, and they are excited what's going to happen on this earth. So this earth is going to have the wrath of God. And so many people were saying, when God is so good and God is so gracious, why God is pouring this wrath? Do you know, God is love and God is the just judge. If there is a judge and he do not judge people righteously, that judge is no good judge. Person has to be judged righteously. Now, why God is judging all these people and putting all this wrath, and why these people are killed? Because one day everybody is going to go to heaven. If the people are not sanctified and not destroy the sinners, then the sinners has to go to heaven. So God is cleansing this, the whole world, and even the millennium. There will be some sinners, we will be reading. There will be sinners in the millennium. And then even the devil is bound for the 1,000 years, still sinners will be there. They cannot commit sin, but their name will be sinners. One person's was a very bad person, murderer or somebody, and somehow he did not get killed in this satanic time, and Jesus Christ's kingdom starts. So just think, this person's name we give like a murderer, and now he doesn't murder, but his last name became murderer. All his children will call murderer, 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 because his last name is murderer. So when the million year finishes and the Satan is released, that will be coming to Revelation chapter 20, and all this murderer, hey, I am a murderer. I'm going to follow the murderer who is devil. Devil is called the murderer. So I was just giving an example. So all of those sinners will follow him, and then there will be final war after this chapter 20 we see. And that final war, we see all the devil, all the sinners, and everyone will be destroyed. Okay, so we see in this chapter only have 8 verses, but giving the idea what's going to happen in future. Go to the Revelation chapter 9 and verse 12. You remember it says, woe, woe, and woe. These are 3 woes, terrible time coming to the earth.
One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter.
Now, when you say in Revelation chapter 9, verse 12, until that the whole we read, the one woe is past. Revelation chapter 11, verse 14.
The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly.
Now, the Revelation chapter 11, we saw the Antichrist try to kill the 2 witnesses, but they did enough damage to the world. And then he says, now second woe is finished, the third woe is coming very soon. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done.
See, now the 7 bowls will be poured on, and the Revelation chapter 16, verse 17, it says, all the 7 bowls will be poured. So each bowl is poured, the terrible things will be happening on this earth. So we saw first Revelation chapter 6, verses 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 12. There are all six sealed were open. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, was the seventh seal was open. Then we go afterwards, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, was the first trumpet. Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, was the second trumpet. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, was the third trumpet. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, was the fourth trumpet. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, was fifth trumpet. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13, was the sixth trumpet. And Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, was the seventh trumpet. So we saw the seal and trumpet judgment is over. Now, next week we're going to read Revelation chapter 16. The bowl judgment is going to start. And so 16, 17, 18. These three chapters, we will be seeing horrible things are happening on earth, and not only problem to the people who are living on earth, but the Antichrist, false prophet, and the dragon, those are the one will be judged. And the 19th chapter we see Jesus Christ coming. Okay, so we are going to stop here and we are going to pray. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are learning your word. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to learn more and teach others. You are coming very soon. You are coming for your people. And so Lord Jesus, you have washed us with your precious blood. And so we are more precious, and you have given us more precious promises than the Old Testament ministry. The New Testament ministry is far more greater than the Old Testament. So give us grace to tell people to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Make us ready, and let us make others ready for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.